Hello. How you doing?
Brilliant.
Well, that's good. So today we're on this one, devotion. I wanted to start, and I didn't plan to read this, but I do today now. I'm here. Actually from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, where Paul says to them, verse 3, I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. And that's how I feel today. When I was a young Christian who thought he knew everything, I used to preach this message thinking I was preaching from this place of authority that knew he was living the life as God wanted it. And as I've got older, I've realized I've never been in that place. And I was fooling myself, but I wasn't probably fooling anyone else around me. But that's how I feel. What God's given me to preach about, it's most definitely for me and for all of us a work in progress. And so I wanted to make that clear, that I'm really not coming from a place of confidence that I'm living this. It's where I want to live, and it's where God wants all of us to live. So get the right button to start with. There we are, got it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, when I was a young Christian, I was taught that when you see therefore written in the Bible, you have to ask, what it's there for? Yes, why? Why have we got this word therefore? Well, it's a word that leads from what's gone before to a consequence or result. So Paul is saying, basically, everything I've taught you up to this point in this letter must lead to this result or consequence. And that consequence is offering up our lives as living sacrifices to Jesus. So we're going to read through chapters 1 to 11 of Romans. We don't need to, because you've all memorized it by now through going through this series. But what have we learned so far? So we're on our mountain again. We learned that we're all contaminated with sin, separated from God because of that. But the gospel of Jesus is powerful to save everyone. Is there anyone here who can't receive salvation? Good. We're all agreed on that one. Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He took away our sins. You can put in a amen, hallelujah, every now and again, if you like. I forgot one important thing. A paz do Senhor. Good. That takes care of the Brazilians. Brilliant. So breaking with tradition. I've become too English. Sorry. There we go. Right, let's try and get back to this again. Right, we're now in a right relationship with God through Jesus. That's good. We now have peace, freedom, and hope in Christ. This is a good one. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and nobody can throw an accusation against us. Oh, I'm so glad about that one. Oh, that's good. Holy Spirit fills our lives, and he confirms with us that God is our Father. We can cry out through the Holy Spirit, Abba, Father. That's great. He confirms with us. We've done that one. All things work together for our good. All things. That's hard to believe sometimes, but it's true. All things work together. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors through him, and we are part of the mystery of being grafted into the chosen people of God. That's a lot of good news, isn't it? It really is a lot of good news. And when we remind ourselves of these truths, our natural reaction must be to offer our all to Jesus in gratitude. Because of what you've done for me, I want to give my best for you. That's got to be our reaction. living sacrifice would probably have reminded the Jewish Christians of the Old Testament temple sacrifices. We're talking about sacrifices. Now, in the Old Testament, there were two main types of sacrifice. One was the sin offering, where the people would take an animal, it would be offered on the altar to pay for their sins. The other was a thanksgiving offering or a praise offering, where they take some produce from their fields to say thank you to God for blessing the harvest or for blessing another part of their lives. And they take that to the temple to say, thank you, Lord, you've been so good to us, and I want to give this back to you as a praise offering. Well, there's a peace offering, but that kind of comes with something else. Shut up. I expect that from Laurie, but not from you. I know it wasn't. The sin offering, Romans 8:3, the sin offering's been paid. That was Jesus. He was our sin offering. We don't pay that one anymore. Isn't that good? We can't pay for our sins anymore. We couldn't pay for them then. We can't now. It's been done. That's finished. Jesus was our sin offering. So that leaves us with the sacrifices to say thank you, our thanksgiving offerings. So that's good, isn't it? Yeah, that's great. This sacrifice isn't an animal anymore. It's not produce from our fields anymore. It's ourselves. It's offering ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. So our first R, in good Christian fashion, we've got 3 points. And they all start not with just one letter, but actually the same two letters. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want to be the person who's preaching next week. They've got to follow this. Remember, that's our first point. Remember the gospel. Remember what God has done for us, the blessings that he has given us, because this is our motivation to give our all for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right. Moving on. So I can put my phone away now. Give me a bit more space. So, we remember what God's done and we offer our lives to God as a thank offering. But how does that work out in our lives? Verse 2 gives us the answer. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You will then be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Can you guess what the second word is yet? Renewing. Well done. That's very good. That was a bit of a giveaway, wasn't it? You know, we are surrounded by all kinds of rubbish, of pollution, of philosophies that tell us all kinds of things that fly in the face of God's word. We see it everywhere. And these things can leave us with strange thoughts as well, strange attitudes, strange motivations, and thinking that we can do this, we can do that, it's normal. But actually, God's word tells a different story. And that's why we need to renew our minds so that we're not going to be conformed to the pattern of the world, but we'll actually be able to do and know what God's will really is. It comes through that renewal. We need it. You know, Andy Neal was, when he was praying for Andy Wright, too many Andys, about washing feet. And it's nice. That point you just won, you've lost it now. Foot washing. You know, you've had a shower or a bath, and in that culture, you're walking in your sandals to somebody else's house. You've got a coating of dust from the world. And, you know, we walk through the world, and we get a coating of dust, and it's good just to have someone wash that dust off our feet, wash that dust off our soul. That the things, I'm not saying that everything in the world is wrong or rubbish or horrible, but there are things which are wrong, rubbish, and horrible. Yeah? And these are the kind of things that need to get washed out with the water of the Word of God. We need to transform our minds. And we need to know, what is it that pleases God? What's the lifestyle? What are the attitudes that are going to please God? And we discover that by reading the Word of God. I've just got a few examples that I've taken from the New Testament. But there's a lot more. But these are general things. You don't need to have a revelation by the Holy Spirit to know that we should be doing this stuff. Okay? If you're reading the Bible, if it's going in, then it's going to come naturally. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. And don't cheat on each other. Honor your parents. Love and look after your kids. Share your food with the hungry. Give practical support to those in need. Help carry each other's burdens, whether that be spiritual, emotional, mental, physical. Don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is edifying. Don't use your freedom to scandalize your brothers and sisters. Pray for each other. Pray for authorities. Pray for the nations. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Enjoy a drink with friends, but don't get drunk. Support and encourage your church leaders. Support and encourage your church leaders. Oh, sorry, I've already said that. I'll say it again, though. Support and encourage your church leaders. Please. Don't give up meeting together, but encourage each other. Make peace with someone you have an issue with. We heard that earlier. Forgive quickly. Seek unity in the church family. Study the Bible together. Always be ready to explain the hope you have in Jesus and make disciples. And there's lots more. And you don't need a revelation to know these things. You find it in the pages of the Bible. So when we renew our mind, these are the things that are going to be starting to oil the wheels and change our thinking, change our attitudes, change our words, change our actions. And these should come normal to us in our lifestyle. But they also help us to tune in to what God wants to say to us personally. You know, we've all got, if you're married, we've all got a calling to love our wives or our husbands. But not everyone's called to go out and do something like the food bank or street pastors. That's a specific calling that God gives to individuals. But the more we fill our mind, we renew our mind, the more sensitive we get to what God's saying to us personally. What's that specific calling that God has for each one of us? And we do have a specific calling, don't we? We do. There are different things that fire us up, that stir us. Yeah, I need to get involved in that. That's what I need to be doing. So, our second point then is renew. Renew our minds to discern the will of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. We're 2/3 of the way through the preach. That's good news. Oh. So this was a bit of a stretch to get this word. But, let's go back to that one. Oh, I haven't got it in there yet. Oh, I'm not going to tell you what it is then. But it's regroup. Regroup. A lot of people in the hub feel that one of the main areas we need to invest in is our sense of family. It's somewhere we need to really invest to create that sense of family, that we are together. We are one family. This letter, the Romans, was written to a community, a family of believers in Rome, a family which was going through tough times and they needed each other. It wasn't written to just one person there and another person there. It was to all of them. And this would have been read to all of them together. And so we go on now to Hebrews 10. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. If you find yourself starting to wander off a little bit and get isolated and not really wanting to get involved in church life, that's the time when you really do need to get involved in church life. We really do need each other. As God shows us, reveals to us, what is it he wants from us? We need people around us to encourage us, and we need to encourage our brothers and sisters. There's no one else is going to do it for us. We're not going to get encouraged from outside the church. Probably not. But it's in the family that we encourage each other. It's where we challenge each other. when we work out, how am I living? How's it going? What's that calling that you've got? How's it going? Can I help? Can I help carry your burdens? Can I help encourage you in this? It's in that family, regrouping as a family, and it's an area we really do need to invest in more and more. Helping each other, moving on together. That's the way we grow in our love and service to God. We're living sacrifices individually, but we do it together as a family. It's got to be a big altar because we've all got to fit on it at the same time. So there's a challenge here. Remember our motivation, the gospel, all that God's done for us. Renew our minds with the word of God. Always renewing our minds with the word of God. Getting together to talk about the word, to wash each other with the word of God, to renew our souls with the word of God, to renew each other, whether it be with food, whether it be with prayer, whether it be with prophecy, with gifts of the Spirit, whatever. But it's that regrouping, doing this together, seeing that we are walking together. This is a season that God has put us together to walk together, to use our gifts and to offer them as a living sacrifice to God. So that's actually pretty much the end of this. That was quick, wasn't it? But it's not actually. Sorry. There's one more thing. So, at the in verse 1, we read that this is your true and proper worship. So, offering up our lives is our true and proper worship. I love sung worship, but sung worship in itself isn't worship. And if I'm not living the life, it's just empty words. It doesn't mean anything. And God isn't interested. He made that clear in the prophets. He's not interested in worship songs if we're not actually living them. They're just a clanging gong to God. But Sunday worship or any other worship time we have should be a continuation of the way we're living. It's expressing what's already been happening in the last 7 days. And we're going to sing a song which everyone knows. When the music fades, all is stripped away and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. Now, we've heard some stuff today about coming to the cross. We've sung some words about coming to the cross and Jesus being our all in all. And maybe something has touched you today. We're going to sing this song, but it's got to be authentic. It's got to be real. Words that come from our souls. Words that come from what we really do desire. Maybe God has shown you something where you need to just tighten the screws up a little bit. An area of your life where you know God's putting his finger on saying, you know, that's not quite on the altar there, is it? Come on, let's move it on. Maybe God's speaking to you about a relationship where you've got to put things right. Maybe recognize that you need to renew your mind more, that you've not really been filling your mind with the word of God, but actually filling it with so much other stuff. And it's time to have a bit of a washout. But let's sing this song as a prayer, as a time of rededication to God. And let's recognize that all of us need to sing it. We're all singing from a place of weakness. We're all singing from the same place, that there's still more to give to God. There's still areas where we're not quite there. So please feel free, if you want to stand, if you want to kneel, if you want to lift your hands, whatever is right for you to express what you're singing, please, let's just pray this together. Let's sing this together, and let's let the Holy Spirit. Maybe God will ask you to go and pray for someone. If he does, please be obedient. Please go and do that, okay?